Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
It's like, why do bad things keep happening to me? Mm-hmm. Why do I, you know, keep getting in credit card debt? Why do I keep dating the wrong girl or wrong guy, whatever? Mm-hmm. Why am I still like, why? Well, maybe that's... The real problem is most of us were raised by parents who were just surviving. So they taught us survival, not life. Mm-hmm. No one sat us down to explain how debt works, how to self-soothe, how to say no without guilt, or how to walk away from love that hurts. We weren't shown what emotional safety looks like, just told to keep the peace, suppress the feelings, and hustle harder. Now we're adults paying bills on autopilot, spiraling in relationships, mm-hmm. mistaking burnout for success, facts, and calling anxiety our personality. Lost, overwhelmed, and wondering why we feel broken, when in reality we were just never taught the basics of being whole.
Oh,
that's a pretty...
I feel like that's a true, you know, immigrant child story. But yeah. Like, everybody got their unique taste of it, because I feel like I had a very unique experience. Mm. Maybe we had less of the emotional, but like we had a little more fun as children than what I've heard from the general audience. Not general audience.
Did they not have fun growing up?
What?
Did they not have fun growing up?
No, like they didn't travel as much. Their families, all they did was work. They barely saw their parents. It was always like, you know, focus on
school
studies, which I guess we did get. Mm. But then I wasn't smart enough, so they kind of gave up on me.
I mean, you're smart. Don't. Don't do that.
Okay, no. Like, I don't know, maybe I was more mesquite as a child, but like, I just did not like school. Like, I think they kind of could tell. What?
It's my mother. Hold on. I'm okay. Just gonna play real quick. Sometimes mothers call in between recording sessions.
But yeah, what was I saying? I don't know. I just like all those pressures, the things that I could never relate to were like the pressures of being, okay. That's a lie. We definitely had those pressures of being like an engineer, doctor, or whatever. But I personally never felt the level of pressure that I've heard from other people, where it's like stressing you out to the level where you're like losing hair. I guess my stresses were a little bit different. I don't know. It's a little weird because I tried. Like, I definitely did try to become an engineer and do all that stuff. But... I realized like once it didn't work out,
yeah,
maybe parents are different. Like, my parents were a little bit more supportive when that didn't work out, and it just wasn't something that I was going for. I definitely still did stick in the engineering world,
yeah,
but like it definitely didn't go the way they hoped it would go, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, mashallah, I feel like your parents kind of always had, especially your dad,
mm-hmm.
had more of like a progressive mindset, I would even say.
Yeah.
And a little bit of a forgiving one.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so in a sense, maybe you were kind of sort of like, I don't want to say sheltered is the right word, but like you avoided the impacts of like being raised to the way that I just described.
Yeah, exactly.
But also I feel like because we had a lot of like older cousins, my brother, and then the other older cousins on the Harun side.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you weren't the one that had to pave the way.
Yeah.
Like you kind of had the freedom a little bit to like mess up a little.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe that's what it was. Like, we technically had a generation that was like above us, even though they weren't born here.
Mm.
Like, we were almost like the middle child.
No, low key.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of were.
Yeah.
All of the cousins in our
You literally, aging. Well, not literally, because it's only two of you, but you were the second one. And usually the second one gets it easier. Which is also part of that story, right? Of how like the older one always feels like they have the more of the burden of doing it right and getting everything right, which is why they usually grow up with more like of the mental health issues. And it's usually like the younger child that kind of gets the easy route, like they get the easier parent. You know, their pressure is a little bit different. The career choices they have are a little bit more, have been opened up a little bit more.
But you know what? I wonder, first of all, I wonder if my brother like resents me now. We should have my brother on here.
Why?
Like my biological brother, not this one. Like just to like, you know, actually someone, I know he's going to listen to this and he's going to feel so gassed and just like hyped up by what I'm about to say. But someone requested his presence on the pod. They're like, isn't your brother in like the financial space? Like he should totally, you know, do a talk on like financial literacy.
Is accounting really like,
yeah.
Like, what, you know, what advice is he getting? I'm playing.
The man does my taxes. He does my taxes for me.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. You think I paid
him? And he's never done my taxes?
Listen.
You haven't gotten any loopholes for me?
All of, you think I have loopholes? I barely made.
Probably get some loopholes at this point. No?
It's illegal. He's not trying to lose his license.
But you get money back though, right?
No, barely.
You don't get money back like that?
You know how much I got back this year?
How much?
Is that like, is this oversharing? Yeah,
I don't think so.
I got $51.
Even I got more than that.
And I was like, yo, like, can't you just like mix around the numbers?
But it also depends like how much money you get back. It depends on how much you've donated that year. And also like, I think it's how you've spent your money. Like, I feel like they, I don't know who told me this in the past. All you financial bros out there, tell me, or financial bros and women out there, bros tell me if sisses. I'm wrong. Bros and sisses, don't. Tell me if I'm wrong about this, but someone told me once that, like, you actually have to spend a little bit of your money.
The thing is...
Yeah, why are you so far from it?
I don't know. I was trying to sit back. Mm-hmm. The thing is that, like, the way... Where I donated to in the last year, I guess it wasn't considered a tax write-off.
That's the thing.
Because I was donating to like a lot of GoFundMes, and you can't use that.
Yeah, I feel like, you can't really use those? I feel like they give something, no?
No, I don't know. I tried and he was like, no, anything to GoFundMe, you can't.
I was going to say like a sign of maturity is actually taking those like tax credit forms from the donations that you make and putting them in your...
I normally do.
I've donated for so many years now and
You've never claimed those?
I always
those?
Forget. I just forget or I get too lazy to like collect them. I like... Because there's so many places like you don't know... Like it's just too much work for me.
No, I know,
Which is really dumb. Like as a person who's like very into finances and like being financially literate, it's like a dentist who doesn't brush his own teeth. Like, you know it's wrong, but, like, you still don't do it. Or you know it's wrong not to do it, and you still don't do it.
What you should do, because usually when you donate to, like, institutions and stuff where they actually provide you with a tax receipt, just snap a photo and email it to yourself, and then put the subject as, like, tax receipt 2024 for donation or whatever, and that way... Come tax time, you just search that up in your inbox. That's what I used to do. Like, I would just email it to him then and there, so he would just search for it in his inbox. Like,
level of organizations might be a little too much for me.
Work taught me how to do that. I'm not gonna lie. Shout out to my job because that has organized my life. I started using my Apple Calendar now because I'm like,
you know what?
I can't.
Calendars, I didn't realize could be so clutch because, like,
yeah, bro,
I put like one person or two people. Two person's like birthday in there, and when it reminded me, I was like, oh, I finally won't forget someone's birthday. Like, I forget every other birthday.
Did you put your sister's though?
Yeah, July 2nd.
Te wallahi.
No, I'm playing. I know it's in June. Okay,
June what?
June 4th.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Huh?
That was pretty good.
Come on, I should know. I honestly, it was like a 50-50 chance between 2nd and 4th.
Wait, you're being serious right now?
Yeah.
It's actually the 2nd.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Gizman, we've been through this before. At this point, I can't even defend you.
I thought I was right.
No, I thought you were being sarcastic, so I played along.
I thought I was right.
I literally played along. I thought you were joking.
No, I wasn't joking. I thought I was right. I'm gonna cut that part.
So welcome back, I guess.
Yeah, to the cousin
connection podcast.
I'm really bad with birthdays. Like I'm bad with dates in general.
When's Hanan's birthday?
Don't put that on here right now.
Why not?
I know what it is. Okay, chill.
When's my birthday?
15th.
You never forget. Yeah, you're
okay. Okay. I don't know why yours specifically is easier to remember. Like something about November 15.
We're almost exactly 3 months apart.
I think it's because you're closer to mine.
Yeah.
So like as a child, when you're growing up, like you because it's the proximity of it, you just remember it more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So I don't know. Yeah.
I know whose birthday you wouldn't know.
My own blood sister.
No, like you did this before.
I know. No, every year this comes up. And I always mix it up between June 2nd and June 4th.
It's June 2nd.
I know.
I will send you a text June 1st.
No, I'm going to add it to my calendar.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't.
Because I'm going to be an adult now. And actually, like, I always, like, dreamed of doing this. Even though it takes literally, like, a minute. Of just taking every birthday of a person I know and just putting it in my calendar. Not only birthdays, like, everything. What else?
Important things.
Yeah, anniversaries. Because, and, like, it wouldn't be, like, the anniversary. It would be, like, the month before the anniversary. Because, like, it can remind you on your anniversary or on that person's birthday. But if you haven't planned for anything, it's like you're kind of screwed already, right?
I mean, you know what?
Like,
so let me just tell you. Look, I'm starting to, like, now I'm starting to, like, add more things into my calendar. And then I have different colors for my calendar.
Ooh, you're going next level.
Yeah.
With this stuff,
man. Different things are for different, you know what I mean?
I should start doing that more.
I'm telling you.
I'm even bad even for work.
Like, oh, you don't use your calendar at work?
Like what do they call it again?
Outlook?
You know when you're like out on vacation or whatever? What do they call that?
You don't put your out of office on?
I don't even know what that is. I've never put on my out of office. Yeah. I'll come back. My phone's like blowing up.
That's messages crazy. Everywhere.
But yeah, I was gone, man. I'm sorry.
How relaxed is your work environment? Like, can you put whatever, or do you have like a template to use for your out of office?
It's pretty relaxed. So like they have like a selection for out of office, and they like our IT kind of just put in a bunch of stuff in there for like automatic stuff.
Well, so you can't like freehand?
You can freehand it as well, but who's
gonna do that? Like sometimes I feel like
a funny
putting
message, whatever.
Out of office. Yeah. So if you need me, don't.
That's it.
Just don't need me.
I wish.
But yeah, don't be like me who put their work email on their personal phone. I'm pretty sure I told this story before. Remember when we went to Ethiopia together?
Oh, yeah. The IT thing where like they thought... The
cybersecurity team thought I got hacked by someone in Addis Ababa. Addis Ababa. Sorry, let me say that properly.
Is that... What did you call it?
Addis Ababa.
Isn't that what it's called?
That's the Gay Sinan way.
Oh. I was confused for a second.
A little bit. Yeah, and then...
We're not going to anglicize that name, okay?
I know, but just in case.
We talked about that, okay, a couple episodes ago.
We did, but then, yeah, when I went through the thread, I literally laughed because I was just like, not the entire cybersecurity team, like...
Yeah.
Literally talking shit about me. And then the guy who forwarded me the thread... Mm-hmm. He's like a friend of a friend. I'm like,
oh, they thought
it
was an actual hacker, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna get this guy, whatever.
Yeah, and they're like the guy who emailed me with the thread.
Yeah,
I like knew of him, and I'm just like, bro, I know who you are. But I didn't want to say that in this thread because all these people are CC'd on it. So I just forwarded the email to my manager, and I'm like, LOL, can you tell them I'm actually in Africa, but also like, hi. So
that was awkward.
Just put your out of office on, okay? Just
put it on. I will try,
yeah.
But I probably won't.
Really?
It's been 10 years, and I still haven't done it. I know.
Okay. Well.
It's been 10 years. That's crazy. It's been 10 years.
I know. Wow. That's you know.
Yeah, but
do we want to? Sorry, before we jump into the other topics, do we want to finish off our thoughts on that?
Oh yeah. Let me look at that post again.
Yeah, here you can like read it properly.
Let me give you a more like actual thought out response. What's your response to this?
You know, being the child of immigrant parents, I feel like we are so quick to kind of blame them for our shortcomings. I don't think it's necessarily fair to blame. And I know that like the common sentiment, or I guess like the, not the theme. Mm-hmm. Like the what our parents tell us is like, I came here to give you a better chance at life, better mm-hmm. than what I had.
Yeah.
Which I feel like every parent does that for their children, is they always try and give their child a better life than what they had, regardless of their upbringing. Mm-hmm. However, I do feel like, yeah, are we at a somewhat disadvantage compared to maybe our like Canadian mm-hmm. like born and bred through
I think that's a given, just like because of how society's structured as well,
but. Yeah mm-hmm. yes, that's true. But I think like and you know what, actually, like this is just I'm really trying to like extract my thoughts and say it verbally, so hopefully this all makes sense. Mm-hmm. On one hand, it's like, yeah, we didn't ask to be born into this situation. This mm-hmm. is just how life was written for us. Mm-hmm. However, it also gives us that like extra burden or like burden to carry. Like mm-hmm. this is just part of us now. So whether you have mental health issues, whether you have or whether you struggle with financial literacy, whether you know, don't have a head start at life and so you have to work twice as hard as your counterparts. Mm-hmm. That's kind of just like who we are.
Yeah.
It's the same where if I decided tomorrow that I want to go and move and live in France, for mm-hmm. example, maybe the fact that I was born and raised in Canada would have given me like a tiny little leg up, but I would have to learn a brand new language, mm-hmm. learn the culture, then have kids. And it's like, I might not be super well versed in the way of, you know, the French people in France compared to like my neighbor who might be born and raised in France. Like, you know what I mean? Like if I made that decision,
yeah.
It's kind of like, I want to say, well, it's the parents' responsibility to try their best to like teach us and instill these things, but mm-hmm. they didn't even know it themselves.
Yeah.
They were, and you know, sometimes when I think about it,
they were surviving,
mm-hmm. but sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, you know what? Like, our parents were high key, like working minimum wage jobs and just like work. Some of them are working like 2-3 jobs mm-hmm. at a time. And they were still able to, you know, some of them, mashallah, purchase homes, mm-hmm. multiple cars. It may not be a friggin' Mercedes, but like still cars aren't cheap, mm-hmm. You know, and then do their best to like try and give us the best upbringing and childhood and like, you know, mm-hmm. not allow us to struggle. Of course. On the contrary, I know not a lot of people, like buying a home is a privilege. Having a car is a privilege. Going on vacations as a child or as a family, privilege. Having new clothes every school year, privilege. Like, I'm very aware of those things. Mm-hmm. But I can only really speak to our personal experiences, right? Like, because that's what we've lived. Mm-hmm. And while that post and everything in that is true, I think two things can be true at the same time. Like, yeah, would our lives have been easier if mm-hmm. our parents maybe were not even born in Canada, just raised in Canada?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. You know? But like the thing is, maybe the reason that I couldn't connect as much to this, first off, is because sure, they were surviving and there might have been some negative, well, there most likely were negative consequences on us as well, whether it be like mental health wise. Or
we're not doing too bad.
Yeah, we're not doing too bad. You know, we might have some struggles, but we work through them. Okay. Mm-mm-mm. I feel like even if you were born in this country, every person has their own struggles. Every family has their own struggles, right? Our struggles just look different than theirs, right? Because like I've heard, you can see plenty of families who are Canadian. Mm-hmm. They have like internal family issues that I wouldn't wish on any family that I know, right? So
true.
Like sometimes I'm grateful for the things that we. We're able to kind of overcome or the struggles that we had versus mm-hmm. those struggles that other people have. Mm-hmm. The thing is, because I always try and look at the positive side of like our upbringing.
It's that one song by, who's it, Kelly Clarkson? Mm-hmm. What doesn't kill you makes you
strong. Yeah.
Is that Kelly Clarkson?
It is, isn't it? I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure. Yeah.
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure that sounds was Kelly like Clarkson. Her. And like a lot of these things could be true, like you mentioned, but
yeah.
From whenever I think of my childhood, I think mm-hmm. of a lot of positive things, right? And hey, sure,
you over time, sorry to cut you off, mm-hmm. you tend to remember the good parts
exactly,
more than the bad.
So. Exactly. Mm. And you deal with the negative consequences of some of that. But I don't think our struggle is unique. It's unique in that like these struggles are unique to maybe an immigrant family coming into the country, but every demographic has their own struggles.
Yeah, and in general, like mm-hmm. like I was saying before, I feel like every whatever generation you're part of, every person that becomes a parent mm-hmm. always tries to give their child a better life than they had. So like mm-hmm. if you think about our parents' upbringings, like if you've ever heard their stories of how they grew up, you're like, yo, mm-hmm. that's crazy.
How'd that's you also grow another up? Part of it, right? Like,
you know,
I would still, no matter what, at the end of the day, I'd rather have this upbringing versus what our parents might have had.
Right. And when you think about it, it's like
many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Like, and I feel like I really, really like came to this. I almost had like an epiphany when I had the Umrah trip with my parents and we were traveling together, and it was like, you know, after, like, whether it was during Umrah, after Umrah, and we were going to all the different countries, and just like seeing their excitement made me realize, like, yo, they're just living this life too. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really just experiencing, like, little things that, like, to me, mm-hmm. I was just like, oh yeah, like, it's just another thing. They were like, wow, this is so, like, cool, you know? Yeah. Like, the fact that I thought it was not, like, when I was booking the train rides between, like, Mecca and Medina, for example, mm-hmm. I knew my parents were going to be tired. And I was like, you know what? What's the difference between like the first class versus like economy tickets? Like, yeah. What's the true difference? For us, when I did the math, like the conversion financially, it wasn't too big of a financial burden on me. And so mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? Let me treat them.
Yeah.
They didn't know. I didn't tell them, mostly because mm-hmm. I forgot. And it was just like, too much on my mind. So,
yeah.
So when you like get to the train, mm-hmm. the first train cabin is where we were supposed to go. See, I didn't know. And so they're pissed at me because I'm like, the train's about to leave in like 2 minutes mm-hmm. and we're running along the side of the train to yeah. try and catch it before the doors close.
Well, you can't go in between?
You can, but then it's like, we have all our suitcases yeah. and yeah. it's like the doors have to open and all that.
Yeah.
So we're like running on the platform. They're tired. I'm like, come on guys, we're almost there. They're like, why are we at the end of the train? I said, it's the beginning actually. And then they walk in and it's mm-hmm. empty and they're just like, huh? And so like seeing their excitement, like mm-hmm. they got to eat the food, like they just.
Was that whole cart yours?
There were like maybe like two other people in there. Mm-hmm. But like, you know what I mean? Like yeah. they were comfortable. They got to take a nap. Like mm-hmm. it's just like seeing them experience like little joys that, mm-hmm. you know, sorry, let me just. Stop myself.
Yeah,
I'm not used to first
exactly.
class.
I was about to say, it's not like you're used to this.
I am not used to that life at all.
Yeah.
Okay, Siri. You're just out here listening to our conversation. I'm not used to that. But what I meant was like, it wasn't like a life-changing first class. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lie flat seat. It was just a little bit of a bigger, it was like a go train seat.
Yeah.
Essentially. So anyways, like it was just nice to see them enjoy and like me being able to treat them and just seeing their reaction. And then I'm like, this is probably how they felt like all those times as a kid when they like when my dad would buy me like 5 million Barbies.
Yeah.
You know, and like you all
give
the
them back, you know?
Yeah.
Tables have turned. I'm sure that's what my sister is going through right now.
100%. And like, I think you have this like newfound appreciation for them. And when you really think back, it's like, okay, my childhood wasn't that bad. Like everyone goes through trials and tribulations wherever you're from. It doesn't matter. It could be this country, that next country, whatever. Yeah. I just think like you just have to move through it, grow through it. Sorry. Mm-hmm. What was that? I used to have this quote that I loved. What was it called? Grow through what you go through.
I swear I had a shirt with that on it.
Did you?
I think so.
Or is that from Gizman's thing?
Is it?
Gizman's shirt, the green one.
Aisha's shirt?
Aisha's shirt. Hold on. I literally have a picture of us wearing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I swear I have a shirt that says that on it.
What year was that? 2022?
Was it? Oh, you have like an actual like...
Yeah, where we wore it.
Yeah, it's the green one, right?
Is it? Does it say? Oh wait, hold on. Yeah,
it is the green one, right?
But this is one of my favorite quotes. It is. Mm-hmm. That's literally you.
Oh yeah, see, I knew. I was like,
grow through like what you go through.
Yeah.
And I think that's like when you really just dissect what that means. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a good, like whether you're going through something really positive or you're going through something negative, if you have the ability to extract the lessons from whatever situation you're in, you're winning at life. Because at the end of the day, if you're just winging it, which some of us are, and that's okay. Sometimes we have to wing life. You know, it is what it is. But truly, like if you're in a negative situation and you're just like, why do bad things keep happening to me? Mm-hmm. Why do I, you know, keep getting in credit card debt? Why do I keep dating the wrong girl or wrong guy, whatever? Mm-hmm. Why am I still like, why? Well, maybe that's, you know, life's way of teaching you the same lesson over and over and over again until you finally learn it.
Yeah.
And then when you learn it, that's when, you know, you elevate yourself in life because you go through your next challenge.
Mm-hmm. And some of those things that they mentioned, I feel like are failures of the educational system as well.
Oh, 100%. It's very limited. Yeah. But I also think that while the education system progressed in some ways, like including certain things in the curriculum that maybe like...
Yeah, but they're not going to teach you like how to deal with debt, right?
Yeah, that's such an important thing to deal with, especially the times that we're in. But I almost feel like they just won't because companies thrive off people in debt.
Do you think schools should start maybe introducing... Actually, no, this is going to be very controversial, but like...
Say it.
Just the idea, okay? I don't even know if I agree with this, but like introducing something to help individuals manage relationships. It doesn't exactly have to be romantic relationships. It could include that, but like just relationships with like friends and family, like some type of class around like interpersonal relationships, because I feel like that's a huge issue in society. Like this is something you even mentioned here where they said like, what was it exactly? Spiraling in relationships, right?
Yeah, we don't know how, like you, like if you're lucky enough to learn from, you know, if you've been in relationships, whether they're romantic or platonic, and you're learning from them, whether they end or they remain, then the experience will teach you. And sometimes like you just need experience to learn.
Yeah,
because you could have a course on like interpersonal relationships or interpersonal.
And there are classes that people take on how to become more charismatic, how to interact with people in, I don't know, you know, being
like public speaking.
Yeah, public speaking classes like that. And I know school kind of does implement some type of public speaking agenda, but like curriculum, which is really just giving projects or like presentations in class, right? So that might be somewhat related to it. And actually, they do have group projects sometimes, so that can kind of be...
Yeah, you're forced to be like socialized.
Exactly, right? But they don't really teach you. They kind of just like throw you in groups and like figure it out, right? And then there's that whole joke of like there's always, whenever you have a group of four or three or whatever, there's that one person who goes missing. There's one person who just writes their name on the paper, and then there's the other person who does all the work.
Yeah, right? And that never ends. Like, it still happens even in college and university.
Exactly. So, and that's a problem, but it's never been addressed. It's just a joke now. It's basically like a meme on the internet.
And actually, to add to that, mm-hmm. it doesn't even end in the corporate world.
Yeah.
Depending on your, like, the environment or whatever industry you're mm-hmm. in, sometimes you're forced to work with people too. Mm-hmm. And it's not just, like, in school, usually you're working with people your age. Mm-hmm. Imagine you're at work and you're working with people that your parents' age, or like they're fresh out of college, like people of different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And so that's a whole different ballgame.
Exactly. Because at least in school, you're usually, since it's in a specific area, you're all within somewhat of the same, like, what are they, financial demographic? What do you call it? Tax bracket, if that makes sense. And then also, usually, like, maybe around the same demographic. Well, age-wise, but also, like, ethnic-wise.
Or maybe elementary actually, school.
Not ethnic-wise, but, like, well, you're all the same age. That's definitely a thing, right? Hopefully, you're all the same age in the same class.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that's definitely a big thing in the corporate world, because then you could have someone who's had a very privileged life and has never heard the word no, while you are like this person who doesn't know how to say no without guilt. Exactly, right? This actually is just a very millennial like post.
It is a very millennial right? post.
Like, it doesn't even have to exactly be that your parents were surviving for you to have a hard time saying no without guilt. I feel like there's something that millennials kind of grew up with. And maybe it's because there are a lot of immigrants in that time period. But yeah, this is an interesting post. Like, I agree with some. It's not that I don't agree with it. It's like, I just don't connect with it, because I feel like our upbringing is kind of unique in that way. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe pieces of these will connect for individuals. That's why, like, this is a popular post.
Yeah, and I would even say, like, and you can tell me if you think this way mm-hmm. too, but, you know, I think a lot of people, especially like baby boomer age and mm-hmm. like the generation after that, I think it's Generation X. We do this every time. I don't remember. I know. Whatever the generation is after the boomers. A lot of them, it's like their lives start when they retire. Mm-hmm. But I feel like for us, especially, like, I feel like I was like, no, why would I wait until I'm 65 mm-hmm. to live life? I'm living life now. Mm-hmm.
I've been getting a lot of posts like that from Hannah and from my wife.
About, like, living life now?
Yeah, I'm like, there's this dude who made a video where he's like, what I do now is I'll work for, like, you know, 2 years, and I'll just quit that job and go travel for, like, 3-4 months. Mm. And then I'll look for another job, and I'll just do that again and just keep doing that, because I don't want to be old and, like, have all this money saved up, but, like, I can't really travel because I'm too old for it now, right? Yeah. Well, at least I won't be able to experience it like I would have experienced it back then.
Yeah. So essentially, it's like the live to work versus work to live.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And that's always been my mentality.
Yeah.
Me personally, I've always been the person who would rather work to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah. Yeah. Work to live. And I think that's because, ironically enough, my dad had a very similar mindset. Like, he worked really, really hard. But he always would use that money, whatever we used to save. I don't even know how we paid for a house at the same time. To like, go traveling all the time, right? Mm. We were traveling. Of course, we weren't going, like, crazy far. Like, we would explore Canada more. We'd do camping, some more local stuff. And then sometimes we might do a long road trip, you know? We're not going on flights out here. But we were still going down south. It was before we need passports and stuff. So we were just driving across that border. Oh my God,
what a time.
I know, right? And we just go to, like, Florida, or we would go to, like, New York or something, right?
Mm.
So that's maybe why I still have that mentality where I come in, I clock out, and I live life after work.
Yeah, like, you know, for, like, and I understand for some people, like, their work is their passion, and that's okay. Like, we're not here shaming you for enjoying your job. I like my job too.
Yeah.
But I like it from between the hours of 8 to 5.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
After that, I'm not employed. Mm-hmm. This is me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, I was thinking about this. I was telling you, like, or I was telling, I think, I was telling Nabat today. Mm-hmm. But, like, today was one of those days where it was just, like, just a busy day. Like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. And we had an early morning.
Yeah, we had an early morning. It's now like, what, 10 o'clock?
Yeah.
Damn, 10 o'clock on the dot.
On the dot, literally.
That was a good prediction.
Yeah, she got that, like, I don't know if you can see it. She got it right on the dot.
Literally. But, like, you know, sometimes people, like, mm-hmm. anyone that's not you and I.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, what are you doing this weekend? And I'm telling them, they're like, so when do you rest? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, when I'm dead.
Yeah.
Well, inshallah.
But the thing is, for me, I feel like that's living. Like, I don't like sitting down. But that's just because of how I grew up. Like, I don't know.
No, like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Of course, we prioritize rest. If yeah. I'm sick or I'm, like, dying and I'm tired, mm-hmm. I don't, like, I will rest. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But, like, I also... I'm doing things that make me feel fulfilled.
Exactly. Yeah.
This podcast to me is not a chore, and mm-hmm. I hope it's not for you.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not a chore. Like, we mm-hmm. we enjoy recording and mm-hmm. like talking to you guys and discussing different themes of, like, you know, we're learning too as we're doing this. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, we have social lives. Mm-hmm. We have errands to run. There's all of these different things, and like. Sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, why do we always wait until Friday, Saturday, Sunday to do these things? Mm-hmm. You know, like one of my friends that was like, in the beginning of May, yeah. hey, when do you want to hang out? I was like, you know, the next few weekends are a little mm-hmm. like packed for me. I'm not going to lie. There's yeah. weddings and all of these things. And then she was like, well, we don't have to hang out on the weekend. It could be the weekday. I said, mm-hmm. you're right.
Yeah. You know, right. after 5 o'clock, you still got like. If you sleep like me, you got another 7 hours.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I will say,
think about it at least. Yeah.
To segue into our next topic, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but this week I felt like yeah. my energy was at -75.
I know. Ironically enough, last week the topic said summer is here, and all I did this week was write "summer is" and I put apostrophe "not here."
Yeah, true. Oh, I thought you just wrote that.
Huh? Yeah, no, I didn't write that. It was already there. I just didn't cancel that one. But that's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah.
The fact that, like, it seemed like someone was ready to be here, and then out of nowhere, it's like, whoops, the sun just left.
Like, weren't we sweating last week when we were
yeah,
recording?
Yeah, it was hot.
And now
here.
I'm, like, shivering.
I know. And, like, of course, it was the same week my wife came back, and I was talking about, oh, like, it's sunny. I was telling her when she was gone, like, yo, it's sunny out here. We're all chilling, walking outside with t-shirts on. Everybody's going to the beach, all that kind of stuff. The moment she comes back, rain. And it has not been sunny since she, like, for the last week.
But you know what, though? All of the rain that we got in the past week, mm-hmm. I'm hoping we'll just feed up all of the grass.
You mean 2 weeks? It's happening for another week.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
But... I'm saying, like, you know, hopefully it means we're going to have lush plants and mm-hmm. grass, and it's going to be a beautiful summer. Like, I'm really just, I feel it.
Yeah, for the 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. But you never know. Like, it yeah. could just prolong it. Mm-hmm. Global warming is doing some crazy things out there.
Yeah, I was hoping that would happen last year, but for some reason we got snow earlier than we normally do.
We did, and it was a pretty cool summer, if yeah, I remember correctly.
Wasn't it was, yeah. 2024? It's weird. I feel like...
I don't maybe remember what happened last summer. What are we?
We're getting the short end of the stick here, okay?
You think so?
Yeah. We might have to start moving, you know, a little bit more south. Let's all go to Niagara.
Oh, I thought you meant like south of the USA.
As far south as we can go without going there. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But it's definitely been a bummer. It's definitely ruined, like, just my energy. Thankfully, like, as long as I can stick to my routine is good. But even then, the routine was a struggle. Going to the gym was a struggle. And also, it was just a busy week in general because I had an event last week and that took up a lot of time. And then, like, just recovering from that.
Yo, I was tired.
I know, because it was a long weekend as well. So technically, it was a shorter work week. Mm. So time kind of flew by for me in that way.
You know, shorter work weeks always feel longer than a regular week.
Not for me.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Must be nice.
Not to be the contrarian, I'm just saying, you know, it's our time. We, you know, it's just how it is, okay? Mm-hmm. We work hard, play hard.
That's true. That's true.
But it's also because I don't stop moving. I feel like that's a big thing. Like, after work, like, because I have such a routine after work, and also there's some other things going on in my life right now, like, time has been flying. Like, it felt like I went from Monday to Friday, just straight. But yeah, the weather definitely was not helping with that. Oh, come on now. See? This is what I do. Right?
No, but listen. Okay. It's not you.
It is 10 p.m. It is 10 p.m. Okay, we'll move on to the next episode.
You know what? I was just upset this past week, because I couldn't run outside. It was raining every day.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to run this week too, but yeah, it's raining.
Like, it's just every single day. And I'm like, okay, maybe now, maybe no, no, not at all. But
yeah,
I will say, I didn't even need to use my sleep sounds because I was falling asleep to like the heavy rain every night. Yeah, it was the best.
At least you get that, right?
That's true.
But the wind definitely did not help, especially as a person who walks outside every day. Yo. Wind is your enemy, and that's all that we were getting that whole week. Mm-hmm. Well, this whole week. But yeah, that was the weather. Inshallah, next week we can come with better news. We'll see. But the next big thing I want to talk about was, you know, as we've spoken about AI,
mm-hmm.
we've been giving updates, and I feel like this is probably one of the biggest updates in AI. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of the scariest when you're talking about like the film industry and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, Google came out with this new AI called VO3,
mm-hmm.
where essentially it's like a you can make videos. You can generate videos, right? But the videos they're generating are like scarily good, like to the point where you cannot tell.
Is that?
You can almost not tell unless you're taking it like really like a fine tooth comb and like going through it.
I think, I don't know if this was the case, but like this, this TikToker, like, you know, those couples, she,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how she did it. Maybe it was Google VO3, but like she edited this video of her husband, like making out with some random girl. And she showed it to him and she's like, who is this? And like pretended to get mad at him.
Oh,
and
no.
He was like, I don't know who that is. But it looked so.
How recently was it?
Like this week.
Okay, maybe it could have been that.
But,
I'm not sure if you can give it information like a person's face yet.
Oh.
I just know that you can generate. So I'm gonna show you some videos here right now. So here's one.
Let me see.
Welcome to a non-existent car show. Let's see some opinions.
I mean, man, the acceleration is crazy. You look far, step on the pedal, and you are there.
I feel safe with him in an SUV, and it seems to be like the right type of car for him.
I think the range is only going to get better. Sorry.
We don't want to drive gas cars anymore.
Yeah, no more gas cars.
This is AI?
Can you believe that's AI?
Yo.
I know, right? It looks almost like...
I was trying to like watch to see like, do they have like a sideways eye or something like that's, crazy.
It's almost indistinguishable now. It's crazy how good it is. And this is just like, this came out this week and people are already making videos like this. There was a guy who made a whole commercial from the AI where it's like it was like almost a comedic commercial where it was basically like a drug you could take to attract puppies to like heal depression.
Okay.
So the pill doesn't heal depression, but it attracts puppies who deal depression. But that was like his test of it. And the guy said that I was able to do this for only $500 worth of prompts because it's $250 for 83 videos that you can make. And that's at least they've already made it public in that way. And he only spent $500 to make a whole commercial that would cost minimum like $100,000+ to make if they actually did it in real life.
Maybe I like...
And it looked indistinguishable from the real thing.
I might have like... I feel like I might have seen like a news article, a header saying like the new AI is going to like destroy the film industry or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably in relation to this.
Oh,
yeah. So it's getting like to a level where I feel like if there's no regulations at all, it could change. It's already been changing. Like you've probably use AI at least once or twice a day now, right?
Way more than
See,
that.
I'm telling you, man. And that's just for prompts. Like even today I was helping my wife with like, so there's like some graphics and we were trying to extract a specific like text from it, and I told her just use AI to do it, and she's like, oh, AI can't do that. I was like, bet AI, like you'd be surprised how good AI is. I put it in there, right, wrote like a simple, like not even like proper grammar prompt, and it did it perfectly, almost perfectly, right? And that's And people are just turning to it now, but now it can be used with video. You can use it for maybe even more like cost-cutting measures where companies out here who would normally spend have a budget of like hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even $1 million for a commercial, because most commercials, they use like extra people, not real celebrities anyways, right? So who cares if you don't recognize a person in that commercial? So now they can just use AI to create that. They just have to train it on like its product.
Yeah, but I feel like there will come a time where we're going to see like whether their commercials or ads on online and stuff, like where they emphasize like this is a human.
That's what I was going to say. It's like what should be done in the future? Do you think people will be like, oh, I only want organic media?
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get at. Or they would like really strongly distinguish between, like, you know, right now, like when you are on social media and if you use AI to generate your content, there's like a little disclaimer.
Does it say that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like even for our
podcast. How can it tell though?
Usually it can. Like whenever, when I generated the, I think it was like the Ramadan Mubarak post for us, I used AI.
Yeah.
And then it said like AI generated.
Was that added by the place that you made the AI with, or was it added by Instagram themselves?
No, because I made it on ChatGPT and then I saved it from there. Like I didn't screenshot it.
Yeah.
So because I saved it directly from the website, I think it's just embedded to the file.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see. But I feel like that's going to be a thing. Like it's going to be a choice in society. It's like, it's going to come to a crossroads in society where I feel like the only way this is going to stop, or the only way that this isn't going to just take over the whole industry, is that people have to make a conscious decision to be like, I will only choose or only use AI or only use, sorry, I will only watch organic media. It's weird that we even have to say that.
I know.
Because I will only watch organic media and avoid AI, right? But the issue, sorry, another thing here, the issue is that I feel like this is going to be used more as like a mix. It's going to be mixed in with real footage, right? Because what stops a people or a company from saying, make me like a background that I can use, and they can just green screen a real person in front of it, right? Yeah. Or they take a video of a person in front of a green screen, tell the AI to like make it look like they're walking through here, right?
Yeah. Or even like what's the special effects thing, CGI?
Yeah,
CGI. Now they can just use AI.
Yeah. And it's gotten so good that you don't need extras anymore. So you can just have extras AIs in the background.
The horror, the loss of jobs.
Yeah, and people are saying, oh, you know, the jobs, they won't really be lost. They'll just move on to like another industry, or the industry will change and other jobs will come up that people can be trained for. But I feel like it's moving at such a speed right now that it's not giving it time to come up with those other jobs.
If you guys are still in school, maybe you should consider studying or shifting your focus on, what is it, UX design or AI design? Who knows?
Yeah, AI or...
You should probably consider doing that since it's clearly on the come up.
Yeah, and a lot of governments right now are saying like the trades, you know, everybody going to the trades. Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of like their way of saying, hey guys, these tech jobs and stuff may not be here in a few years. Let's start pushing you towards more like hands-on work, things that can't really be done by AI at the moment. Because like, you know, unless they start building robots that can do plumbing, I'm just saying.
That's crazy.
Or robots that can do electrical work. And there are, I'm sure there's already people developing things where
probably
they can start doing that, right? But it's not there yet. And I don't see it happening for another like 10 to 20 years, right? So it can be, you know, that can be the reason that they're mentioning it more, because it seems like it's a safe industry at the moment. But then again, also the next generation doesn't want to be working outside. I feel like that's the thing as well. At least we, maybe the millennials are like that.
Right? No, we don't like to be outside.
No. Actually, give me 1 second. Okay, sorry. The camera is overheating. I put on a fan. I'm hoping that the fan kind of fixes that before it overheats. If not, we might just stop. The footage might stop at randomly and I just have to fix that. But it's whatever. We'll fix it. It's okay. Whatever. Okay. I was talking about AI and the video. One positive, just to bring some, you know, the silver lining or some positive to this, what seems like a negative situation or something that may not be a positive influence on society. this might be a positive thing for like smaller businesses, you know, people who don't have a budget at the moment. Of course, these big companies are going to take advantage of it, 100% right?
They are, yeah.
But that means that smaller businesses can also take advantage of it, and they can get their products out there that may be more superior to these larger companies that are just kind of like cutting corners. But for the companies that aren't cutting corners and are actually building and making good products, they can now start making commercials on the cheap with a budget that they didn't even have to begin with using AI.
I'm kind of curious to see like if that's the new or the next big marketing strategy, because mm-hmm. I think for the last couple of years, like, influencer marketing really was like the thing to do.
Yeah.
And a lot of companies, mm-hmm. yeah, like they really like benefited from that a lot mm-hmm. because people were chronically online.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, will people trust AI, or will they continue to want to see their favorite influencers or just like micro influencers even? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
You know?
Because like the thing is, micro influencers are like, people don't really care about the person. They care about what they're talking about or the product that they're currently showcasing. Mm. So I can see companies just getting rid of UGC, which is user-generated content altogether, which is usually just like a person who doesn't have a following. They might still just make a commercial for a company or like a TikTok or some type of social media post. And then that company will then put it out as an ad somewhere else. But they might just cut that out, which would be, of course,
Have like AI generated. Yeah,
that wouldn't really be very good for those people making the UGC content.
Yeah, because that was a big thing too. Mm-hmm. Like they really benefited from that.
Yeah, and that's going to be interesting to see like how that changes. Because I feel like that will happen a lot more sooner than later.
Mm.
And it's weird because AI is like adopted. It's like nobody uses it. Everybody's scared of it, and then everybody just starts using it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Because that's how it was with ChatGPT,
right?
Yeah.
Everybody like was scared of it, or like everybody's scared of AI in general, but then they got access to it and everybody started using it
because you're scared of what you don't know. You're scared of the unknown.
Exactly. Then but now like, it's like your daily thing.
You're like, what can this thing do? Let me just Google it. And then they try and they're like, wow, this is life changing.
So I feel like that might be the way this goes as well, even though, but I think the difference here is that you actually have to pay for it. Which is why I feel like more companies will be using it than actual, like, just random individuals. Maybe we should put a little budget towards it and see what we can make.
We should. Something to consider.
Yeah. You know, we can just give it the footage and be like, put us in the middle of the forest.
Yeah.
For real this time. Not like a fake background. Like, you know,
we do. Like, I want to see a clip of me smacking a mosquito on my face. Like, what? It's bothering
me. Oh, because that... I was going to use real footage, but I guess, yeah, it could just make us. I don't know if it can, like, train us on our faces or we can do that.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But as
this develops, we'll probably talk about this more and see how this is adopted. But that was just something that came out this week from Google. And it's definitely going to be interesting seeing how it's implemented in the next few weeks. I'm saying weeks because I feel like this stuff moves so fast.
That's really soon.
People are already using it, man. I feel like people will start implementing. Okay, maybe months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when it'll probably pick up more speed.
Yeah, because it seems like these companies are adopting it faster and faster every time.
Mm.
So the next big story of the week was something that was very fishy. It's an unfortunate situation, but it was fishy with the timing and like who did it and who was affected, the victims. So what I'm talking about is that in, I believe, Washington, D.C., two, I believe they were Israelis, were unalived by a person who then, after unaliving them, started shouting, "Free Palestine," right? And, of course, this was happening at the same time. What?
It was definitely planted.
Allegedly, because we don't know, okay? Mm. But it was fishy because a lot was also going on where they were saying that there is a famine currently going on in Palestine as this is going on. And then they were giving a timeline of, I think it was like 48 hours. This is around the same time this happened. They were saying like within 48 hours, like 14,000 children in Palestine are at risk of going hungry, of becoming unalived from going hungry. Mm-hmm. And this happened, and of course all the attention, or what little attention it was getting already, had shifted to this situation.
Right.
And people are pointing out, it's kind of ironic how the unaliving of these two people got more attention than the unaliving of literally thousands of children who they seem to, they claim to care about, right? So I think you already said what your opinion is on this.
You already know.
But do you think this was set up? Like the guy himself was set up?
Yeah, it's very possible that they were sacrificial lambs. Like, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, it's almost like they're playing a game. Mm-hmm. Who can gain the most sympathy from the world? That's how it feels.
Yeah.
And so, but it's, like, I'm not saying that I'm celebrating the fact that two people were unalived.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, whether they were sacrificed or they truly were unalived by mm-hmm. the other side.
And people might say, like, oh, you know, conspiracy heads, and why would they do this, or what is they wouldn't go that far. It's like, we've seen that they are willing to unalive their own people. They don't care about their own people for their own gain. And I'm talking about the government there that's currently mm-hmm. Committing these atrocities. So why wouldn't they, if they feel like they can benefit from it? And I thought it was kind of interesting that these two people were Israelis, but they weren't Jewish. Hmm. Yeah, I believe, or at least I think they were Christians that one of them had converted, or two of them, they had converted, something like that. But that could be like another level of it. But I know is you can get in trouble for saying these things, but we're just speaking out our mind, okay?
Yeah.
And I feel like our audience is a safe space for it, okay? Hopefully we don't get any eyes on this. We might be crossing a border in a few weeks, so I want to make sure this doesn't come up. But it is fishy. We're allowed to say conspiracies, are we not? Are we not allowed to have our own conspiracies?
I think
I'm just saying it's very fishy that this happened at this time.
Mm,
and
I agree.
The way that person just walked up to them and then started saying Free Palestine immediately after he committed that act, and the way he said it, it's just, the whole situation was very fishy.
What does he look like?
I believe he was Hispanic.
Oh
yeah. Let me pull up his actual name.
I wonder
here.
How much he was paid to do that. Just mm-hmm. speculating. I don't know. The truth will reveal itself eventually.
And it was actually at the embassy in Washington, the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. His name was Elias Rodriguez. That's South American, at least, right? And another level to it is that they were unalived during an event to combat anti-Semitism. It all plays into their hands so well,
yeah.
that with everything that's going on, with the grander context, you know, with everything that's going on, you have to look at it in a like kind of sideways, especially knowing how far that government specifically is willing to go. And even the government south of us, I don't even want to say their name.
Right, I know.
trying to be very
BPC.
Yeah, PC here. How they are willing to do certain things, you know, CIA, all that kind of stuff, to, you know, further their own agendas. Yeah, why wouldn't they, right? Unfortunately, two people were unalived. But I'm like digging myself in a deeper hole. Apparently, the guy that was unalived like mm-hmm. said some really nasty things online, which is kind of expected, especially if they're Israeli. But like, they said some pretty nasty things online about Palestinian people. So it's like, I'm not gonna say anymore. But
are we surprised? Are we?
You know
surprised?
What? I'm gonna throw this to you guys in the comments. What do you think about this situation? I don't even know why I brought this up. I feel like there's so much that we can't say because of all the things that are going on down south, which is kind of crazy if you think about it.
But you know,
like
what?
Now you actually have to try and like censor yourself because there's a high probability that it will be looked at by a certain government, and that certain government may unjustly do some things to you and lock you up unjustly.
For simply entering the country?
Yeah. Like, did you not hear, this is a tangent here, but there was a story of an Australian woman, mm-hmm. I believe she was also a cop. She was flying into Hawaii to stay there for 3 weeks to visit her husband, who happens to be a soldier. He's based out there. I guess they have a base camp, right?
Oh, that's random.
She lands in there with her mom.
Mm-hmm.
and there was like some security check, and the mom just like, I guess she was, they were taking a long time, and she's like, hey, like, how long is this gonna take? And of course, some dude with a lot of power going to his head in the TSA or whatever, he got angry at them and he accosted them for a bit, and eventually he started rummaging through their stuff, and he's, and to the girl who was there to visit her fiance, he's like, this is a lot of clothes for someone who's going to be here for 3 weeks. And she's like, this is like some luggage. It's like, what does it matter how much clothes I'm bringing? Like, I'm just here to visit him and I'm leaving. I have a return ticket. She had a return ticket.
Yeah.
And this turned into a huge thing where essentially she was arrested. Yeah. She was arrested. She was taken to a federal jail cell. She was stripped and cavity searched by these people. And you know what cavity searches, yeah, right? Like, they make you squat and
yes,
all of that. And then she was deported the next day back to Australia.
That is insane.
For having too much clothes in her luggage. And because a dude took offense to her mom, not even her, her mom being annoyed that they were just taking so long going through the security check.
Is that legal? Can you do that?
Now, well, they're currently trying to say, like, even habeas corpus is, like, no longer, is it really enforceable? They're trying to say that.
What?
Habeas corpus is, like, basically you have the right to a trial.
Yeah.
Right?
They're saying that's not true.
They're saying, like, hey, that's, even though it's in the Constitution, they're basically saying, like, eh, it's, like, we don't really have to follow it. These are times of, we're in the middle of time of crisis or whatever. We don't need to follow that or whatever.
You know what,
or
we're
invasion.
In?
Sorry, invasion.
We are in the end of times, I'm telling you guys.
Well, for that one country, right? I'm sure there's some other countries in the world where they're saying everything's perfectly fine here, guys. But because we're, our proximity to it makes it seem a lot bigger, right? Mm-mm-mm. And it is a big thing. But that shows you that no one is safe. This, and I forgot to mention, this is a white Australian woman.
I assumed.
Yeah, I guess that was might have been clear, but unclear when I mentioned initially for the people who are listening. But the fact that it can happen to them,
yeah,
and, you know, the way we look, the way you look specifically, you know, it can be kind of interesting.
Dang, it's gonna let me, be interesting. Let me put on my best hijab when I go. That's crazy. Wear a blazer and heels and stuff and be like, just, yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say I'm going for a business meeting. Exactly. They're going to be like, where's your work visa, ma'am? Then I get deported too.
And she said that she's never going back to America ever again.
I don't blame
her. And her husband's like, or her fiance is like, shit, what do I do? So he's trying to leave the army or trying to get like discharged from the army so he can go and live with her in Australia. Because she said, I'm literally never, ever coming back to America after this.
I mean, if I were to pick between America and Australia.
Yeah, it's not a hard choice, I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and speaking of hijabs. As you mentioned hijabs. the next topic.
That was is, a good segue.
See? It's not really a happy story, unfortunately.
It's not, yeah.
But it's something we've heard multiple times again and again. The French are some weird people. I'm sorry to any listeners out there who are from France or any just French speakers in general. But there is something up with your people because they cannot leave hijabis alone.
Yeah, they're so threatened by Muslims. I don't know why.
Not only Muslims. It's like hijabi specifically, right? I guess because, yeah, Muslims, they don't want Muslims in general. But I feel like y'all are getting hit the hardest because everyone already knows that there have been multiple laws, not only in France, but like in Quebec as well, because they just want to be like France. They're like, oh, no, you know, accept us too, whatever, even though France always talks shit about them. But they've had like, I think in Quebec and maybe even in France as well, they don't allow public servants to wear any type of like religious garb. I know that's what it is in Quebec. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it is in France as well. So like if you're a teacher or if you're a police officer or working in the government, basically you cannot wear hijab. That's what they said, right? Or even if you're sick, you can't wear a turban. So that was like the first step. And now they're trying to go after the youth. So the next thing is that the party in France that's in power currently, let me see what actually the name of it is. I can't find the party name, but it's Emmanuel Macron. That dude, you've heard that name, Macron. You've heard that name a few times, but his party is leading this. They put in a new bill to basically ban anyone under the age of 15 from wearing the hijab. And they're saying this is like because there is for their protection or something of that matter. Essentially, they're trying to build that, what do you call it, that separation at, when they're young from like religion and everything.
As I know they that, say, like, church
I know
and
that
state.
Hijab isn't everything. Like, it's not the only thing when it comes to religion, but it's a big part of a person's connection to Islam. I feel like for a woman, I can't speak for y'all, but would you not say that's like a big part of your connection with Islam as you're growing up?
Yeah, it is. It is. Mm-hmm. And usually by the time you're 15, you know, most like that's when
your faith or
no, like that's when most people become like pubis, like they go through puberty.
Oh, yeah,
and become,
exactly.
You know, considered that's when hijab is like accountable on you, mm-hmm. not at 15, but by the time you reach 15.
Yeah,
that's when, you know, everyone kind of reaches that point. So I think that's interesting. But yeah, you do. Hijab definitely is part of your identity. And to ban it up until the age of 15, where you're like your most impressionable years, is mm-hmm. interesting agenda.
Do you feel like that's what their agenda is? Like, basically, because that's always been the thing that people, even in Islam, they always, I can't remember the actual quote, but it says like start with the youth, right? Like if the parents are already misguided or they feel like they're too far gone, as long as you can reach the youth, you can at least change the future, because the youth are the future. I think, I forget what that, the children are the future, sorry. So I feel like their way of kind of trying to
infiltrate?
Yeah, their way of trying to like infiltrate the Muslim community is by trying to discourage the youth from practicing fully.
Yeah.
Right? And even if like they want to, if they feel like there's some like legal ramification for it, that will at least break that connection between someone's like faith and
their connection to faith.
Yeah, it'll try to break their connection to faith. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though like it's not everything. I'm just saying it's not everything about it, but like
no, I know, but
it's a big part of it, at least for some people.
It is. And it's like, I'm pretty sure France has a really high population of Muslims, so this is a very like, if this actually is able to go through and they are able to successfully ban the hijab, I guess I'm gonna say it again. We are at the end of time. Like, no, like, okay,
that
all jokes aside.
Everything, yeah.
No, all jokes aside, though, like, that's really scary and unfortunate. And it makes it hard. Like, essentially, they're like, I think they're looking for like one of two outcomes. Mm-hmm. One is like, drive the Muslims out of France, or two, you know, basically try and it's almost like they're really trying to push this agenda of like, don't go towards the religious route, like just go and be free and do you, like, you know, you don't have to like worry about religion. And that will, you know, create a generation of people who are missing that sense of like connection to their faith, you know.
Yeah. And it's ironic because it depends on what their goal is, but like I feel like a lot of countries' goals are to have stability, to have safety, right? To have a contributing society, to like, you know, whether it be financially to the country and everything. And I feel like we mentioned this before, but the Muslim community is usually a more positive influence when it comes to those things, right?
That's true.
Sometimes they can say like there are certain Muslim communities where that may not be the case, right? Like, I know in Toronto, a lot of people try and say, oh, like, there are a lot of gangs are run by Muslims, right? But I feel like that's more of the few, or it's more of a minority than the majority. Like, a majority of Muslims, at least when they come into a neighborhood, they're going to be more of a positive influence there. At least I feel that way myself. So I feel like they're really just shooting themselves in the foot trying to do this.
Yeah.
And
it might be a control thing, too.
Sorry?
It might be a control thing, too.
Control in what way?
Like, a lot of people don't like the fact that Muslim women choose to cover their body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, you know, you're being oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
No, because it's my decision to wear this.
Yeah.
Yes, we're obligated to wear it, but at the end of the day, like, a person makes the conscious effort and choice to either obey God or not. Mm-hmm. It's really that simple. You can throw in the fluff of like, oh, but I'm not ready. Yeah. That's not the conversation for that today. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is it's either you obey God or not. And some people are so threatened by the fact that you choose to cover up your body. Mm-hmm. Odd. Because like, has nothing to do with you. If I choose to wear hijab and cover my body, that's my decision. Why is it bothering you so mm-hmm. much? And so like, there's that. And maybe this is like tied into like modern day feminism. And mm-hmm. I don't know. The conversation can like evolve, right? Like, I just.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe that's the side that I'm forgetting about mm. is that Muslims usually stick together more, spend money within themselves as well. And usually they're more educated. Muslims are more educated generally. But also we have more kids, right? So that might be a threat to them because it's one thing to have more kids and be uneducated, but when you have a community like the Muslims, where they're most likely not going to be voting in your favor, especially if you're more of like a right-leaning party, but they're also more willing to vote, but also they're like they have more influence as they grow as a community as well. They're probably trying to like just cut out that influence early before it grows into something that they can no longer control.
But like, honestly, I feel like, and maybe this is the case even before 9/11, but mm-hmm. ever since 9/11, Muslims were forced to be so apologetic mm-hmm. and so like, let's try not to appear like a threat to the others. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, try and become super westernized to like fit in, and let's do this. Let's accommodate them. Let's accommodate them after an entire group of people, an entire religion was blamed mm-hmm. for what was allegedly the U.S. government's ploy for whatever plans they had.
And they continue to use that same story for anything else. Like whenever they're attacking Muslims anywhere, like they do in Palestine, they're using it. Oh, they're savages, right? If you were there yourselves, they would unalive you. They say all these things.
That's crazy.
Just so they can justify unaliving our own children and women and men.
There's no justification for unaliving someone.
Yeah, but is the West, I feel like, has...
In that case, I mean.
Yeah, I feel like, ironically enough, the savages are the people who are committing these things, right? Mm-hmm. But I just hope that the bill that they're putting in doesn't actually go through. Mm. And there's enough seats in the House that would oppose this. Because I don't know how it breaks down in France right now. Hopefully, there's more like left-leaning groups. Because usually they kind of are more open to protecting everyone's rights. Mm. So we'll see how this turns out. I need to find out what they're... I'll try and give an update later on what the final decision on that is.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we end the podcast, we're just going to reply to a few more comments. We're trying to be more consistent on this. Mm-hmm. I know it's... what day is today? Saturday?
Yes.
So we've had at least 2 days this time for some replies to the podcast.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get to more of you guys.
So I'll start first. This is the first comment I saw. This one made me laugh. Safia Lezkani, 4853, mm-hmm. laughed at me saying, in our neighborhood, the raccoons run the streets.
Did I say that? Or did you say that? I can't
remember. One of us said it.
Oh, so it's crazy that we can't remember that. but also, over here, Maymuna Fula, hopefully I said that right. Please correct me if I didn't. She said, I'm so happy that the Sahel states got mentioned. Mm. I'm from Guinea and Mali, but it's so great to see some of the Sahel states mentioned. Yeah, shout out to all of our West African listeners. I think there was someone else who said that they're from Uganda.
Yeah, I saw that.
I can't remember if it was in this comment section or the last one. But yeah, shout out to y'all. I just like to bring light to all situations going on all across the world, but especially in Africa, because, you know, we have a vested interest in that as well, in all of the continent. So, we're going to continue to follow up on these stories and mention more things going on in Africa when they come up.
I found the girl from Uganda. Shamsa Masaba says, mm-hmm. episode, laughing face, laughing That's face. Why. Y'all are so funny. Fun fact, the episode usually drops Thursday, 9 to 10 p.m. where I am. So I watch it on Friday at work. It's literally the first thing I do. Also, not me getting excited for the Cousin Connection game night, fully knowing them all the way in Uganda. Shout out to you, though. Like, thanks for supporting us. And you never know. Maybe one day Cousin Connection will do a little world tour or something. Mm-hmm.
inshallah, you'll still be a listener yeah. in those 10 years it takes to get there. No, sooner or later, though, inshallah.
Yeah. But Maymuna also continued and said, my friends and I are all planning on finding a town in Jersey / Long Island and having kids around the same time. We just need husbands. LOL. Good luck, girl.
I remember we used to talk about something like that, where we all get like a townhouses in a specific place.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
I would like that.
If only our... it wasn't $1 million a house now.
I know.
Oh, here's one.
No, I know what
last
you're
comment. Wow. Last comment of the day.
Wow. I know which one you're going to read.
Sent by Sultana Ahmed. She said, Sara is such a catch. Inshallah, she's going to get an amazing husband. And then y'all can plan the next generation of cousins.
Inshallah. Thanks, Sultana. That's really nice of you to say.
And with that.
Don't forget to subscribe to our channel.
Exactly. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. You know, reply back to some of the things we talked about. Whatever you hit that you like, just, you know, write a little comment. It helps. I'm just saying, you know. Follow us on all our social platforms. Cousin Connection Pod. And, you know, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.